As we continue in our series, let's start out just a question. You ever seen someone do something that motivated you to do it? That kind of woke you up to or reminded you of how awesome or how exciting it is? This season, I had the pleasure of driving the Mormon Trail track team to their outing. That not running yet, so you know. But in every trip I take to Brazil, since I grew up there, as many of you know, I grew up there, every trip I take, one of the things I love getting back into is soccer. As a kid, I grew up playing soccer. When I returned to the States, I wasn't built for American football. I was a tad wee bit smaller. But while I'm here in the States, I stopped playing, stopped paying attention to it. I started focusing on American sports. Don't follow the league at all. Don't watch it there. But as soon as I get off the plane in Brazil and I get back to, you know, my childhood home, my friends there, family, they will start mocking each other's teams. I see the church league. I'll go to the church league and watch them play. And I get the urge to play. But I ain't going to get hurt in a third world country. And so it does, it kind of builds that excitement and that reminder of how awesome and how fun it was, how much time was invested in it. And also, I believe the reason many teens or kids make a commitment to the military, the possibility of dying for our country, is often inspired by our veterans or the stories of those heroes that have passed. And seeing that choice of joining the military was worth it. It was valuable. See, often being around the right people will ignite or reignite a passion or an excitement for something. So last week we started this series of revival. And if you weren't here last week, you want to catch up. Well, it's still on Facebook. They leave it on there to live stream for 30 days, or it's on our website for a year. But revival is a word used when God wakes up his people and gets their hearts. He gets a hold of their heart by using his word. Revival is what God will give people when his people pursue him and call out to him. Revival always will bring repentance, a turning back to his way. It'll bring a brokenness over your complacency in your walk with him. It'll ignite you to pursue God and his word and to surrender in obedience to him. Revival is not an emotion or a goosebump you get. It's not the music you listen to or the event that you go to. Revival is recognition of how much I need intimacy with God and letting God work in me so that he can work through me. And true revival will never happen without God's word being the transforming factor in your life. Don't call it revival if it's not based on the scriptures of God's word. So we started last week with a young king named Josiah. Not to confuse anybody, because during the week speaking of this, it confused some people. I'm not preaching about my son. I mean, I probably could make a series about him. It goes on and on and on and on. But this is about a young man in the scriptures. And last week we saw that God uses anybody. And this king started being used at the age of 8. Just a young man. And we saw that Josiah had a desire to draw nigh unto God. And he started out living what he knew about God. He did not have the law. He did not have God's word. It had been cast aside. So he had to find a way to pursue more knowledge. And so he went to godly people. And he started to remove idols and ungodly things that his dad and his grandpa had left for him. We saw last week that Josiah chose to restore the temple after he had grown for a while and after the cleansing that he had made. At about the age of 26, Josiah started to restore people to honor God by fixing the place of worship because it had been damaged greatly by the wicked nation and by the idols that were there. And during this, the high priest found something there. If you're not there yet, if you open up to 2 Chronicles chapter 34, 2 Chronicles 34, if you remember during its construction or the restoration of the temple, the high priest goes in to give the money to the workers, and he finds something really important there, something that brought true revival, something that would change a man, and it would change a nation. So in 2 Chronicles 34, go down to verse 14. 2 Chronicles 34, 14, it says, "And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses." Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence, for your love, and Lord, for the way you want to work in our lives. Lord, I ask you to give me the words to say that points to your cross, that points to your word, that makes you know. I ask that you soften each one of our hearts so that we would hear you speak, that we would have a desire to be conformed to your image, that we'd have a desire to be obedient to you. Your way during this preaching time. In your name I pray. Amen. You know, last week we spoke of the value of him finding this book. How often is it that you stumble over your Bible and you get excited about it and you thank God for it and you share it and you run around and show people and you pass it around? I'm guessing to say it's not very often. Often, the reason would be is we have become almost immune to the value of God's Word. We have so much access to God's Word, we take it for granted. It's all over the place to where almost we become calloused against it. It's not that exciting anymore. The time of service that people roll their eyes about is, oh, it's preaching time. Probably not our church. That's other churches, right? But it's easy to get calloused about the Word of God because it's just all around us. But here, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law. And they had been without it for 55 years. Do the math. That's way before Josiah was even born. It had been cast aside and trashed and forgotten because of the wicked leadership, the wicked rulers that had turned their nation over to idolatry, that started using the temple as a place to keep their idols. And so the word of the law just got cast out, hidden, thrown away. But the priest found this book of the law. And what is the book of the law? If you're not familiar, it's the first five books of the Bible that God used Moses to give to us. And what does he do? We talked about that last week. When he found this book, it wasn't like, oh, this will be a nice pew reserve spot for Sunday morning. This was not a card decoration to keep on a dashboard. It wasn't the end table decoration. According to 2 Kings, it appears that what the priest did when he found it, he's like, he read it. He's like, whoa, this is awesome. And he read through the law. And then what does he do? He shares it with the messenger. You remember that Josiah the king sent a messenger to the priest with money so he could pay the workers. And he read this law, and he would have contacted the messenger and said, hey, you got to check this out. This is incredible. And if we look at 2 Kings correctly, it appears that he read it too. You see the value here? And what does the messenger do? Go down to verse 18. And when Shaphan, that's the messenger, the scribe, told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. You see what happens here? They found something so good, they couldn't keep it to themselves. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, right? That doesn't mean hide in a way that it's not seen. Quite the opposite. It means put it where it can't be stolen so it transforms your life. So you're going to see the effect of me storing up God's word in my life. You see, they found the law. They loved it so much that they had to share it. They couldn't keep this private. Remember Christmas, fun thing to see the kids come Sunday morning, guess what I got? And they may bring it with them. And that's cool. They're excited about it. That's the priest here. Hey, check this out. Look what I found. And, you know, I'll check it out. And he goes and reads it. Oh, this is too good. So what does he do? He takes it to the king. He says, King, you ain't going to believe this. We've been going to godly people and asking questions, and you know what God has provided to us? He's given us his law. And so what does he do? He reads it to the king. Would have been the normal thing. Is you read it to the king, and he gets to listen to it. So what happens now? They're pumped. They're excited. What does revival bring when we read God's word? Woo-woo! Hey, we're going to have a party. Cookout time. No, you know what the truth is? Revival brings brokenness. Often the healing process hurts. Notice Josiah is 26 years old. The word of God, the law, had been missing for 55 years. He's never had the privilege to read the book. He's never heard the word directly read to him like this before. And look at the reaction of King Josiah in verse 19. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahiakim and son of Shaphan and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, Go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. Not always when we open God's word does it give us the warm fuzzies. Not always we walk out those doors going, whoop, whoop, that was encouraging. Sometimes we need conviction. Sometimes we need to hurt. And Josiah is hurting. He's heard the truth. And what did he do? He was so broken. He reached down and ripped his clothes. This was a sign of grief, of hurt, because of what he had heard. He's learned how wicked this nation is. He's learned that they are doing nothing to honor and be obedient to God. They're not following his precepts. And he is broken. And what is it this nation deserves to receive from God is what something he has learned. And Josiah is taking this serious. So he sends his men to inquire of the Lord, and because Josiah was concerned about God's promise of wrath. And he sent them to learn more and to learn what the nation needs to do. What do? We have violated a holy God. We deserve His wrath. See what happens when you get into God's Word. It will kill your complacency in His Word. When you let the Word of God transform you and God do a work in you, it should kill your complacency and your satisfaction with only having what someone else regurgitates upon thee. It should make you want to pursue God's Word itself. Hopefully when you come on Sunday mornings and you hear the preaching of God's Word, you don't walk out of here saying, that was good for the week. I hope you walk out of here saying, I need to search God's Word. I need to study to show myself approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. That's what the word preaching of God's Word should do. Should cause you to love God's Word more, to open it more, to value it more. Revival will kill your complacency in God's Word. Because revival will cause you more to desire more intimacy with God, more closeness with Him. It should make you want to do what James tells us to do in chapter 4, draw nigh unto God. And He'll what? You see that intimacy? The closer I come to Him, the more He brings me to Himself. That's what revival should do in our lives. Revival should make you take God's Word serious because you love Him. So Josiah's men went to a godly lady. And there he was promised that evil was going to come upon Israel for the idolatry. That there was evil coming upon him. They would hurt. His wrath was going to be poured out. But after that, listen to what God promises to Josiah. Go down to verse 27. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble yourself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rinse thy clothes, and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, said the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place, and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. You see what God has done for Josiah here? And his sincerity, his desire for the intimacy with God. Josiah had a soft heart. And God recognized his heart. It was soft for God to mold it. Often we hear the preaching of God's word, and if we're not careful, we look around, oh, that was for him and that was for her. No, all the preaching of God's word is for you, it's for me. When Josiah read through the law, he wasn't saying, well, that's a tough one. He was broken. See, this is for me. This is for my people. This is for my nation. And God recognized his soft heart wanting to be molded as God wants it. It was soft, still feeling conviction. Be careful that you don't lose that softness to where you still feel conviction for sin. Because once you get to the point that sin is no big deal and you can start forgiving little sins, what you do is you graduate to the next step of sin. And that's Satan's plan. He gives you the little ones that are palatable. And when that little sin is palatable, what happens? He gives you a little bit bigger bite. A little bit bigger bite. To the point that you're calloused. Josiah wasn't calloused. He was convicted. He was broken. He was sincere in his actions. As God noticed, man, you wept before me. You ripped your clothes before me. He heard that Josiah came to him humbly, understanding his place. Humility is not about self-deprecating jokes. Humility is to submit yourself to God, to let Him have the authority, to make ourselves low and him high. And that's what Josiah is doing. That's what we are called in James 4:10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and then what? He'll lift you up. Humble yourself. Lower yourself. See, Josiah humbled himself. He cried before the Lord. He begged for help. He wanted to learn more. See, pride is the opposite of humility. When we start looking and think of ourselves as better than others, or that we're okay to not pay attention to certain scriptures, we get ourselves with pride. And all through scripture, we see that God hates pride. So much so in James, he says he holds the proud man away and he brings the humble man close to himself. When you hear God's word, don't think that you need to obey it. You're stuck in pride. No matter what the issue is. But because of Josiah's soft heart, his humility, his sincerity, God promised Josiah a time, his time as king, would have peace. Now, he knows that there would be much evil come upon this nation, that God was going to send evil because of their idolatry. But he tells Josiah, you'll never see it. During your reign, you're going to have peace. However, Josiah would be followed by some wicked kings, and the nation would eventually suffer. But during his time, he led them to walk with the Lord. But the law of God brought brokenness to Josiah, as Josiah learned of the sinful nation. And now Josiah's got to make some changes. He's going to lead righteously. And we see that revival brings commitment. When you learn what is right and true, you should not ignore it, but make that commitment to it. Not a temporary commitment, but you should be stuck to it. Not just for when it's easy. Not just when it's emotional. Not just when everybody else is doing it. Remember, no one else is doing it right here. Josiah gets the word of God, and he's like, well, this is how we're going to lead. But if it's right, it's right. If it's right, it's time to do it. So look what Josiah does. Go down to verse 29. It says, then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites, and all the people great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. See what Josiah does there. Calls it, gathers everybody together. The nation that God had created is supposed to bring him glory. And he makes his commitment to the Lord public. He gathers everybody together, no matter who you were, powerful or not powerful, rich or poor. And he read before them that he was making a commitment to the Lord. You know what? As king, they knew how he was going to lead now. They knew what to expect from him. They knew that they could hold him accountable to the word. They can join him in his endeavor. He's making it public. And Josiah wanted to fully be committed to God. He wanted to obey every word. He wanted to honor God. Oh, what a commitment. You sure you want to make that commitment public? You sure you want everybody to know? Because remember what you gave them the right for. When I know your commitment, what I got to do? You shouldn't have that. That's why you're ever going on a diet. Don't tell nobody. You're supposed to drink Coke. Shut up. He just did it publicly. Why? He was serious. He was serious. I want you all to know my commitment. He was fully committed to God. Josiah knew they had been in sin. He had been broken over it. And brokenness, here's something for all of us to remember. Brokenness never benefits you at all unless you act from it. If you choose to be broken, but you keep living in sin and that same sin continues in your life, guess what? It did you no good. You can kneel here at the altar and you can cry every Sunday for a half hour, but if that's all you're going to do, it did you no good. The good is when we come to the altar and we say, Lord, grab my heart. Lord, I want to walk in your ways. Lord, I'm not asking you to bless my sin. I'm asking you to grow me and to pardon me. See, falling at the altar means nothing if you don't want to submit to God. There used to be a practice in the church that you don't hear much anymore. Called rededications. It's an act of humility. Here's something for us all to remember. Humility was never meant to be easy. The reason it's called humility is because it comes from the word humiliation. It's where a person would meet with a pastor and leadership for help. And then they come before the church family and confess their sins, their faults, maybe just their complacency, maybe just their need for growth and accountability. And give the church the right and the request to hold them accountable. Ask the body to be their strength. Ask the body to continue to help them learn and to grow. And before the church family, they would commit their ways to the Lord. It's rededication. Maybe there's someone here that needs to do this. Maybe there's someone here that needs to humble yourself. Philippians tells us that God honors that. When we confess our faults one to another, then the healing begins. Maybe there's someone in here that just needs help and strength to get out of your sinful ways. And you need to make it public before your church. You need to take God's word serious. You know what happens when one does this? When one humbles himself before God and submits to the ways of God, takes his intimacy with God serious, makes his commitments public. The third point is revival spreads. Revival spreads. Not because you never pursue revival so that revival will spread. Pursue God and let Him provide revival. Pursue God and His Word. Get to learn of Him and know Him and let Him spread it. But that's the automatic reaction when it starts to spread. Look at verse 32. And he, that's Josiah, caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of the country that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days, that's again, all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. If you'll notice, verse 29 through 30, Josiah gathers everyone for the reading of God's word. They got to hear God's word. They got to know these are not Josiah's ways. They are the God of their forefathers speaking to them. The God who performed the miracles that they had heard of. Remember, they would have heard of the parting of the seas. They would have heard of those plagues that happened to their forefathers. And they said, oh, he's speaking to us. This is his word. If it was just Josiah's philosophy, it wouldn't matter. If I ever come up here and start preaching my opinion and my word and my philosophy, get up and walk out. I didn't create you. I didn't lay down my life for you. I didn't save you. But when God speaks and we open up God's word and you start seeing God's word, you better take it personal. And that's what Josiah just did to him. He read it to them. They knew who it was from. And Josiah's leadership, he led people to obedience to God. That's hard sometimes. Yeah, that's hard most of the time. People don't like change. Right here in our own church, people don't like change. Can I get an amen? But you know what? Sometimes change is needed. And Josiah was going to do it because he was going to honor God no matter what. And he made the law available to them by having it read to them. Remember, they didn't have a copy of the law for everyone's home. They couldn't pull out their cell phone and pull up the Bible app. Right? They had to go to the temple where the rabbi would open up the scrolls and read to them. And that was a very special time, a very exciting time, a very powerful time. And for 55 years it didn't happen, and Josiah reinstituted this, that the Word of God was important. Now, many only did this under obligation. They went through the formalities because the king said to do this. But there's no doubt that many returned to the God of their forefathers, the God who created their nation for His glory. And notice that the purification continues. And the verses that we just read last week, we saw that Josiah cleared all the public idols. He cleared out the temple. But now, he says, after the reading, he continued. And he clears more, probably, personal items. Chapter 35 talks about Josiah reinstituting the Passover, remembering the work of God. He led the priests to do service correctly. And when God brings revival to you and I, He will move us to clear out whatever does not honor Him. You ever notice that? As you're growing with the Lord, and growing with the Lord doesn't mean you get more goosebumps than you used to. It means you love His word more. You're more submissive to Him. That you start loving things that in the past were goofy to you. Like this here, for example. Years ago, I went to church because I was obligated to do it. Now, I'm encouraged to be here. I need to be here. I want to be here. There's no way I was going to waste time reading God's word in the past. You know what? It's valuable now. There's stuff I did in the past that I look back and say, why did I like that? I don't get it now. What God has done is conformed. He's changed me to love His things. That's what He starts to do as He gets a hold of your heart. He changes what you love. And He clears out the things that don't honor Him, that don't reflect Him. Because remember, He created you in His image. And that's why as believers, we continue to grow, to keep adding God's character, to keep carrying His image better. Josiah wasn't satisfied here with just being better than the previous king. That wouldn't take a very high standard. He wasn't happy with doing just okay. He wants to give God His all. This is revival. He wasn't giving God His Sunday mornings. He wasn't giving God His all. That is revival. Pursuing God. Submitting to God. Loving God. Notice something very important. The end of verse 33. And all his days, they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Revival is not an event. Revival is not a fad. It's not a music session. It's not a speaker. It's not an emotion. It may include those things, but we don't even see those in here. Revival starts. But the heart of man. Turn over to James chapter 4 with me. I wasn't going to turn there, but we're going to turn there because I've referred to it 1,000 times. And I believe you're going to see what here. I've preached on this so many times, you probably got it memorized. What revival really is going to start with and what it consists of, and it's going to look like in your life. And I believe as we read through this, you can point out this happening in the life of Josiah. In James 4, go down to verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. What revival is going to look like? You're going to choose to submit to him, to draw nigh to him, to cleanse yourself of things that don't honor him. So you pursue him, to know him, you surrender to him, to obey him, you clear yourself to him, to honor him, and you lead others to him. How's that start? How are you going to submit to him if you don't know him? How valuable is God's word to you? How valuable is God's word to you? Now you know it. Not how much you have memorized, but how much do you love God's word? Now let God start using it to transform your life. Start drawing nigh to him and see how he starts changing and transforming and clearing your life from things that do not bring him glory. Would you stand with me? I'm going to have a time invitation today, and take it serious. It's a time for us to evaluate our relationship with our Lord. First, have you ever started a relationship with him? And what that means is you recognize your sinfulness and that your sin has separated you from a holy God. And now the only thing you have to hold on to is the wage of the sin is death. That's a separation from life itself, God, who is life. But because he loved you so much, he sent his son Jesus. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, because he paid for your sinfulness. And all he requires of you is to trust him with all thine heart. And to confess with your mouth your need of him. And he tells us very clearly, then call out to him. You see, when you know who he is and you recognize who you are, you know you need a Savior and you will call out to him for salvation. That's how you start this relationship with the Lord. And the word Lord means master, my leader. That's what you bring into your life at salvation. He becomes your new leader, your new life. And at that point you start submitting to him. You get to know him in his word. And watch how he starts transforming you. Have you started a relationship with him? If you're so and you're a believer in this room, are you submitting to him? Does his word carry value in your life? If not, now is the time to make that commitment. Maybe it's a time to call on him for salvation, to place faith in his son Jesus, who can save you from what you deserve. Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence here. Ask for your hand on each person in this room. That we would evaluate our relationship with you, our seriousness about your word. And Lord, that we would humble ourselves before you. Ask that you have your way in this time of invitation. In your name I pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed as the piano plays. Maybe you want to step out. If you want to step out and you got questions, I'd love to sit down and chat with you in private. Maybe you want to know, how can I be saved? How can I be a child of God? How can my sins be forgiven? Come out. Step out. People will be happy to get out of your way if you can get out of the pew. Maybe you just need to get serious about your intimacy with God. Right now at the altar, humble yourself. Maybe right there at the pew where you're at. Humble yourself. Say, Lord, I'm going to make a commitment. And if you make that commitment, then you need to find someone to make it public so they're going to hold you accountable. He tells you to pursue Him. Draw nigh to Him. Let us do that.